Turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 12. Not going to be there for quite a while, so just find your spot there. But we're going to read that chapter and look at it somewhat intently. But we're going to look at some other areas. If you find that question, we might try it at the end. All righty? I want to speak to you on the topic tonight of authority. How many just love being told what to do? Oh, my. I don't know what to say. Oh, Doc, you are precious. What's that? Oh, yes. Some of his sayings. Don't buy green bananas. Not sure you live long enough to eat them. Oh, well. God's good. I do have to ask, maybe I shouldn't. What were you going to do for your birthday this year that your wife would not allow you? Okay. If you live the next one, you're going to do it then, maybe. You got to let him. You have a question, though. How old is Doc? He's 28. Which is cesarean, normally. Okay. Without, what are these things you ladies get nowadays? Epidural. They didn't have epidurals. What they did is they gave him a nail, and never mind. A natural childbirth. I mean, they didn't, you know, I don't know what they did in those days, you know, it's very painful, I've been told. I have no idea how to sympathize with a woman on that area. I've had a few gas pains, but I don't think it's the same thing. Okay. All right. I know what you're talking about, Doc, because I'm getting this zippet tonight. Gone far enough. Authority. We better get back to this. Book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Far too often we want to be our own authority. And when that takes place, it's really an absence of authority in our life when we become our own boss in everything. The absence of authority in a society is anarchy. It causes tremendous problems. It means basically that every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes with no regard for other people. What happens is then there is no order. Chaos is the result. A few years ago, hurricane hit New Orleans. What happens afterwards? People rush in to steal, the word is loot, from their friends and their neighbors' houses. To break into stores and other places wherever there was not anybody guarding it, that they might get stuff, steal it. And we find that to be so true in, oh my goodness, all sorts of things. I remember 2 years ago when the flood was going through our area and there was homes underwater in certain areas or about to be, and people had been taken out of their homes. And I remember one man especially that found out people had come into his house and looted his house. when folks are down, there's always somebody that's willing to knock them a little farther. If you and I are going to have unity in our churches, peace in our homes, security in our communities, if we're going to have progress in our schools, if we're going to have productivity in the workplace, then somebody's got to be in charge. It's just that which is necessary. Who or what is in charge is a very good question, and one that demands an answer in whatever area we are in. Authority is sometimes defined as the power or the right to give commands, enforce obedience, to take action, or to make a final decision. It gives one the right to impose their will upon somebody else, or at least to impose upon them a will. It means that that person is in charge. The power to be in charge presents itself in the form of laws. God is the ultimate authority. We in this room tonight would agree with that. We would say that God is the ultimate authority, and He alone has the right to demand His will upon others. And by the way, He does have the power to enforce that will upon whomsoever He decides to do so. For those of you who are in the adult Sunday school class, I hope that you keep some of these things in mind, because it will really tie in with this Sunday as we get into Revelation chapter number 12. Let's listen to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 21. Speaking of God, says, He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that no understanding. In chapter 4 and verse 17 of the book, same book, He says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. That's in chapter 4, verse 17. In John chapter 19, it says, then saith Pilate unto Him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin. The authority is presented to us by God in the form of the law. Is it no wonder, as we stop and think about it, is it no wonder that this world really has contempt for the law, the Ten Commandments of God? The Bible says that all we like sheep have turned everyone to what? His own way. And so we find the world basically is going against the commands of God, the authority of God. If all authority is of God, then all rebellion against authority is rebellion against who? Against God. So if the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, oh, by the way, it does. That authority is given by God to father and mother. We'll talk about it a little more extensively in a moment. Then that means if we do not honor or do not obey that authority, then we have disobeyed who? God. This becomes very important in this matter of authority. And so we often find ourselves rebelling against it. But when we think about that, who was the initial rebeller of authority? Was it not Lucifer? In Isaiah chapter 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? But how art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, listen to what he says, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who's in rebellion? It is Lucifer. And before perhaps even time began, we know not when, we find that Lucifer rebelled against the authority of God. When God created man, we find that he followed suit and ignored God's authority over him as he partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. By the way, the authority that God had over man in that particular place came in the form of the Word of God. Listen to what it said in Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying..." What happened? He commanded, he said. So it came in the form of Word, the Word of God. And he said, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So God, what He said was that that should not take place. They went against His Word. They went against His authority, the authority of the Word of God. Isn't it no wonder then that men hate the Word of God because of its authority? Quite honestly, I very seldom listen to radio. Even when I'm in the car going somewhere, I very seldom listen to radio. I get in my own little world of thoughts and ideas and so forth, and different things. Sometimes you can use it as prayer time, reflect on things. And not even very often do I listen to music. But today I happen to have the radio on, and I was listening to Rush. We probably have a few in here who are Rush junkies. But I was listening to Rush. And a lady called in and she asked him, she says, "What happens if the Supreme Court says that it's okay to have same-sex marriage? What is that going to do to our churches?" She said, "What is that going to mean to the churches when it comes to the matter of who they marry? Will it then be against the law for them to turn down gay marriage?" And it was interesting, some of his answer. But one of the things he said, and here's a man, I don't think he's saved, though he has a fear of God to some degree. But maybe he is, maybe he is. I don't know. That's not my point at the moment. But he said this. He said that the liberals hate, and he used this term, organized religion, because it means morality, and they're against anything that's moral. Now, that's his take on it. I thought it was an interesting observation. But that's certainly true of mankind in general, isn't it not? For we have gone astray. We've gone after our own way. That's what God has said. And that'd be so, so true. I want you to look now to Psalm chapter number 12. And let's just notice a few things here. He says, "Help, Lord." Are you there? "For the godly man ceaseth." Let's get ourselves into the context of this. "The godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Boy, isn't that true of our time? It seems like we're going in the greater minority and greater minority. It seems like the things of this old world just seem to keep on increasing, and things get worse and worse. "They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with double heart do they speak." Notice verse 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." And notice what they said. "Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us?" Wow. Isn't that interesting? So here we find a situation God is putting us, really, this is right up to date, isn't it? Isn't this where we live at? But God says, "Hey, I'm going to cut this off." He says, "For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy, now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him." He said, "I'm going to give you a safe abode to those who are in this tremendous minority, those who are," let's just put it down where it's at, "Christians." And here's how it take place. The words of the Lord are what? Pure words. as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. And notice verse number 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. But you and I, we have this precious Word of God that He's preserved for us, that we might be able to walk within His authority. Now the world hates it, but it is His designed authority for you and for me. We find that God, in His book, in this which is our authority, this which ought to order our lives. You would agree with that. I believe that's why you're here tonight. You want this book to order your life. And so as we look at this book and seek for it to order our life, we find out that this book, its authority, is also setting up others to be in authority. So God in His Word makes certain people's authorities over us. And God makes some or many of us authorities over others. But let's notice these tonight. First of all, I would say this. God has delegated His authority foremost, I believe, in my heart and mind, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our authority. Amen? Mark 11:28 says, "And say unto Him, by what authority doest Thou these things?" Who gave Thee this authority to do these things? That was a question that the Lord Jesus Christ asked, because He is saying, "Hey, I have that authority. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of God." Jesus has authority. He has authority over creation. I don't have authority over creation. You don't have authority over creation. I mean, you and I can't go outside and say, "I want it to rain right now." We can't go out and say, "I want the sun to shine right now." We can't go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, "I want the sun to shine. Or I want the clouds to move away so I can see the stars." We cannot do that. But our Savior has authority over creation. Bible says, "For in Him were all things created, they're in heaven, they're in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." They're held together. He is the one who's keeping it going. It's His authority. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus Christ has authority over death by the means of crucifixion. Think about that. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:25, "For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifested that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him." And by the way, one of these days, our Savior, by right of conquest, that's what we're studying in Revelation, has the authority and will exercise that authority over the nations. He will take control. We read about it in Revelation 11:15. "The seventh angel sounded. There were voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.'" We're looking forward to that time. Amen. Looking forward to that time when every knee shall bow to Him. I don't know about you, but I get tired of hearing the world drag His name through the dust and through the mire of this old world. But one of these days, His name will be an exalted name. He will have that authority. We may not like this, but did you know God gave authority to government? Now, this is interesting because we also find that the devil has greater power within governments. But the Bible says this, Daniel 2:21, "He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. In 1 Peter 2:13, he says, "Submit yourselves in every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme." And on it goes. In Romans 13:1, in a great chapter on this, says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Many years ago, I had heard a man say, "We get the kind of government we deserve." That's interesting in light of what's taken place in the last 20, 30 years in America. Our young people in this room have no idea of the America that I once knew. It is radically different. And it's a tremendous change and upheaval at this very moment, I believe. But regardless of its form, we are to submit to government. If the policeman says stop, we're still supposed to stop. I don't like to pay taxes, but they still were rendered to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. By the way, don't forget to God the things that are God's. To rebel against government is to rebel against God. There is one exception. One exception. We find that exception given to us vividly in the lives of the early apostles. When the Bible says in Acts 5:25, "Then Peter and the other apostle answered and said," when they were told not to preach the Lord Jesus Christ anymore, they said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." The Great Commission says to what? Preach the gospel to every creature. So there are things in the Word of God God says to do. In other words, are we to steal? No. But if we're commanded to steal by somebody that's in authority in government, we ought to not do that. Okay? There are things that we are to obey God in. By the way, we better make sure we know what God has said, that we can be in the right spot. Amen. But God has placed governors over us. And by the way, it's interesting, the more unruly we get as a nation, the more laws we need. I didn't need a law when I was a little kid, you know, that I had to drink water out of a glass cup rather than a plastic one or whatever. But I mean, today things, I mean, they're starting to make laws like this. And telling us what we can eat and what we can't eat. And so forth. I mean, all sorts of things. I mean, how many folks see this? I mean, you see this. It's there. Why is it? Because we're not listening to God. Well, here's another one that God gives to us that we might not think about. I'll just use the word employers. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, and with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ." Your masters according to the flesh. So we go to the workplace, and what we're going to find? We're going to find somebody's in charge. Some of you in this room, you're in charge. But you also have somebody in charge over you, most likely. Somebody says, "I'm going to own my own company so I can be my own boss." Well, guess what? Everybody who walks in your door and wants to buy something from you is now your boss. Right, Rich? Yes. Okay. Yeah. We are answerable to somebody. Okay. And so we are in that position. Now the Bible says in Titus 2:9, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again." Servants, in 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." That's interesting. Even those that are not so good. And most likely we've all had some of those. But we are to, what? Follow their instructions. Only time we can't is when it tells us to do something contrary to the Word of God. We must not then. The Bible also makes another group, and I mentioned a while ago, we might use the word husband, we might use the word wife, or excuse me, father. Wives, by the way, over children too. Okay? Talks about the law of the mother. But listen to this in Genesis 3, verse 16. Of the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall... Oh, wait a minute. We probably ought to cross that out of the Bible. That isn't very popular. We probably should do that. Rule over thee. The New Feminist Bible doesn't have that verse. It's just gone. 1 Corinthians 11:13 says, But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Isn't that interesting? Even within the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there is that position of authority. Jesus Christ is just as much God as God the Father, and yet He places Himself in that position according to that verse. Of course, the great text in Ephesians 5:22 says, Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, as unto Him. Why does it say it like that? Because God has placed him in that position. Now, we'll talk about it in just a moment because we're going to get to one more area and then we're going to deal with something there. But that does not mean that because we're in a position in government, because we're in a position as an employer, or we're in a position as a husband or a father, that we ought to be mean and cruel. Because the Bible is pretty specific too. When He says, as unto the Lord, then we ought to be acting like the Lord in our authority. Amen. And how is the Lord in His authority? He's very loving, very kind, very patient. And so our rule ought to be tempered as Christ is to His church. The right relationship between a husband and wife, by the way, will discourage rebellion with children. That's interesting. But we find that in that text. There's also another. A lot of folks don't like this one, but it's the pastor. We find the word rule with him. It's not church authority, for its only authority from God is to what? Preach the word, demand adherence to its precepts and principles. But within the church, God has established an order of authority. There is Christ. He's the head of the church. But there's also the pastor. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:7, Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. By the way, that word conversation is an old word that's talking about their total behavior. In the same chapter it says, Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as that they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. In 1 Peter 5:2 it says, Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, the pastor, the husband, the father, the employer, government either, has no right to lord it over God's heritage. Not to be a tyrant, not to be a dictator, but one who takes the responsibility, leads the way, makes decisions, seeks to set a course, whether it be for the nation, whether it be for the family, whether it be for the organization, or even for the church. There is purpose in that. God wants you and I to understand that. One of the things we find with a pastor is he's going to answer to Christ for what is accomplished. Is anybody in here, you're over some, but you have somebody over you? Is anybody like that? Andrea? I'll just pick on her. The person that's over you, by the way, she's over what are you over? The school cafeteria. She's the head cook of the, I don't know if she does any cooking, but she's over. You're just in there kind of looking around. and watch it, taking care of it, but you have an authority over you. If they come to you, you're responsible for those employers that you have, and you're answerable for all of those. Am I right? Okay. They're probably not going to those people, they're coming to you. And so you're responsible. Somebody else had their hand up. Tom, you did? So if they come, then you have to, you have the same kind of thing with that. All right. So they're coming to you, they're not going to those under you. But you're responsible for those guys. That's the same kind of thing. Okay. By the way, fathers, we're responsible in the family. Okay. Employers, you're responsible on the job. Government authorities, they're responsible. Do we not hold them responsible even ourselves? Okay. And so, and by the way, as a pastor, I have that responsibility. Okay? And leadership is seen in a number of different ways. Part of that leadership is displayed in the vision that we seek to share with the people that are there. The direction that we want to take, the needs that must be met in that. And seeking to get folks to go in the proper direction. That's true in the family, that's true in government, it's true everywhere we go, it's true in the church. God has given us authorities. Now when there's rebellion against that authority, whether it be in the family, the home, on the job, in the nation, or in the church, we have problems, don't we? And as individuals, we need to recognize that the authorities God has placed over us are there by God. Do we always agree with the authorities God places over us? No, we don't. No, we don't. Every job that I punched a time clock at, all the other guys who punched time clocks with me, every one of us knew more than our foreman. They did. Did you know that, Andrea? All those cooks know more than you do. Yeah. I mean, listen to them. And, yeah. And they're always, you know, out guessing. And by the way, sometimes they're right. But they do not see the total picture. They don't see the whole thing. They see their aspect of it, which is great. That's why God put them in that spot to be over. And if we recognize our position, sometimes we're in followership, sometimes we're in leadership. But if we're ever going to be a good follower, be a good leader, we need to learn how to be a good follower. You will never find a good leader who is rebellious, especially against God. And we need to learn there's authority. Does Mom tell you what to do? Does Dad tell you stuff to do? Dad doesn't. Mom does. We need to talk to Dad. Do you do what Mom says? Do you think she's wrong sometimes? How old are you? You're 12. It gets worse when you're 14. But seriously, we sometimes think that. But we still do what Mom says. Right? Yeah. Can Mom be wrong? Yeah. But we do what Mom says. The only time we can't do is when they're telling us something directly in opposition to God. Boy, we better be very careful there. We know what we're doing. We have authorities. You'll always have them. So Athena, whoever it is, learn how to obey them. Both of you. Everybody. She's right behind you. From my sight. And we have authorities. Okay? It's just known. Justin, good to see you tonight. Dad's an authority.
What he says is goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Amen. By the way, he impressed me tonight. Justin's only been here a few times, and he was going to go out with Jeff. He says, I want to go in worship service. Glad to see that. Amen. Do you have any authorities over you, Rosie? Yeah. Our whole life. Yeah. Very much. Question?
My uncle, he has a gift. His gift is when he thinks it's going to rain, his arms will start getting really itchy, and he will be like, oh, it's going to rain tomorrow.
Okay. But he doesn't have authority over the weather. Alrighty. Yeah, we have some odd things like that. Alright, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight that we do have those who have authority. Lord, but help us to understand and to recognize when we're in rebellion to them. Oh God, help us to understand that you've placed people in so many different positions over us. But Lord, also you've placed us in position over. And Lord, what an awesome responsibility, because we stand in your position. You said it most dramatically as you talked to husbands. Because we stand like the Lord Jesus Christ in comparison to his church. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to exhibit that authority in a godly manner, and that which would be portraying the Lord Jesus Christ. For those here who raise their hands for an authority in the workplace, Lord, we realize that it's an horrendous responsibility, and to be godly in it, to be like you. And Lord, I pray for everyone who is in the workplace, because oftentimes they have ungodly authorities over them. Give them wisdom. Give them discernment. And Lord Jesus, I pray for our young people that you might give them a realization that mom and dad, the policeman, the teacher, the principal, and so many others, the coach, they are authorities to be listened to and followed. And when we don't, it's a reproach against you. Lord God, work in our hearts that we learn this very valuable lesson. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.